speaking of. Because if you haven't found out already, the church is up against a battle with the adversary of our soul. We're living in a generation where hell has tried to make things hard, where the devil has tried to make things difficult, and where this fight has become fierce. As the writer put it, we're living in a time of peril, aren't we? I'm glad tonight that Paul wasn't the only one to write about these last days. Because if we flip back to Acts chapter 2, we can find where Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. And he said, it shall come to pass when, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You know what that tells me tonight? It tells me that hell may be pouring it on, but heaven is still pouring it out. The Spirit of God can still move. The Shekinah glory. Glory can still fall. The Holy Ghost is still in business. I believe there's liberty here tonight. While we give the Lord a praise for how we feel here in this service. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I feel like the Lord is here. I believe He's here to do something, don't you? Amen. I'm privileged to be counted among you tonight. I want to say appreciate your pastor, Brother Sandlin. How many know you got a good pastor here? Amen. I believe he's a man of God, got a great spirit about him. And I'm just honored that he asked me to come. We're just thrilled to be here. You'll see Brother Smith, all these visitors, all of you home folks. We'll get straight into the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 3 is where we'll begin the reading tonight. Revelation 3, verse number 21. Just going to read one verse there. And you just pray for me tonight. Been battling some allergies and some congestion. Amen. But I believe the Holy Ghost will make up for what we're missing tonight. Amen. Want to just have a fruitful altar call. That'd be all right with you. That's what I'd like to see on this first night of revival. Somebody get help and lifted up and strengthened. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. If you have it, say amen. The Bible said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. You may be seated if you like. I love that passage of Scripture. Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. I won't be an overcomer, don't you? I don't want to be defeated by the devil and his tactics, but I want to be triumphant in the Lord, because I think it's interesting. Jesus tells us, to him that overcometh will I what? Will I grant to sit with me in my throne. In other words, he was letting us know this is not just going to be a vain victory, but there's going to be a reward. There's going to be some compensation for the overcomer. Amen. The Lord will anoint me tonight. I will preach on, I'm not giving up my seat. I'm not giving up my seat. I want you to understand, when you read the second and third chapters of Revelation, you are literally reading the very words of Jesus Christ. And here in these chapters, Jesus begins to instruct the seven churches of Asia Minor. In each one of His letters, Jesus starts out condemning each one of these churches. He pinpoints their problem. He tells them, this is where you messed up. This is where you failed me. This is where you went wrong. But I'm glad the Lord didn't just end those letters on a negative note, aren't you? I'm glad He didn't just end them with bad news, because He finishes each one of those letters by saying, to him that overcometh. Amen. I'm glad there's going to be some overcomers in these last days, aren't you? You know, there's been a lot of people that's trying to convince me that it's not worth it living this Christian life. There's been a lot of people that told me that I would never get anything out of living for God, that I was just wasting my time, I was going to miss out on some things. But you know what I found out? I found out that none of the people that told me those things had ever read the book of Revelation. Because you see, there are some blessings that are given to them that overcome. To that first church, the church of Ephesus, the formal church, Jesus said to him that overcometh, will I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To Smyrna, the fearful church, he said, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To Pergamos, the faltering church, he said to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. Amen to that. Thyatira, the false church, he said, he that overcometh, to him will I give power over the nations. To Sardis, the famous church, he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To Philadelphia, the faithful church, he said, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And to Laodicea, that fashionable church, we find our text tonight. He said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I say, I'm glad there's going to be some people that'll be considered overcomers. My friends, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil deceive you. Not everybody's going to backslide. Not everybody's going to hell. Not everybody's going to fall. I believe there's going to be some individuals that continue to live righteous, that choose to remain committed, and that choose to remain true to God, no matter what everybody else may be doing. Amen. I realize tonight, when you take a look at this world, when you take a look at the sinner, it seems like they're just going along through life with no worries, with no heartache, with no pain. I said, I realize that sometimes living for God isn't the easiest thing to do. But can I tell you, if you'll just endure, if you'll just carry on, if you'll just hang in there for a little while longer, you're going to be sitting in the seat of an overcomer. You're going to be sitting in the throne of a conqueror. I said, there's a place in heaven that the Lord has prepared just for you. Can you say amen? History states that during the time of the Civil Rights Movement, there was a woman named Rosa Parks. Anybody here ever heard that name before? I'm sure if you don't remember her name, you at least remember her story. Rosa Parks was an African-American woman. She lived in the days of segregation. Of course, that was a period of time in which everything that a person did depended on the color of their skin. If you were black, you were not allowed to eat in the same restaurant as those that were white. If you were black, you were forbidden to drink from the same water fountain as those that were white. If you were black, you were forced to sit in the back of the bus, while those that were white were allowed to sit in the front of the bus. Isn't that right? But history says one day, that African-American woman, Rosa Parks, she stepped onto a bus. She decided to sit down right there in the front seat. The bus driver immediately informed that woman that she was prohibited from sitting there. But Rosa Parks stayed seated. After a few minutes passed by, some of the men and women on that bus, they started getting angry with that woman. Started yelling, demanding for Rosa Parks to get up. But that didn't work. A little while later, some more people came along. They tried to physically remove that woman from where she was sitting. That didn't work either. Finally, those people decided to change their methods. They began to beg and plead for Rosa Parks to please get up. But that woman held her ground. She looked up into the faces of each one of those people that was trying to force her out of her seat. And I like what she said. She said, I'm not given up my seat. And we all know how the story ends. Because of her persistence and perseverance, her case was taken to court, and she helped to win the victory over the ruling hand of segregation. Amen. How she did it? By one simple statement: I'm not giving up my seat. And that's how I feel about it tonight. I say, I'm not giving up my seat. I'm not going to let the enemy pull it out from under me. I'm not going to hand it to hell. I'm not going to surrender to Satan. I'm not going to deliver it to the devil. But I'm going to hold on to it. How about you? And you know, there's been a lot of people in my life that I've counted dear to me. People I've held close to my heart. Amen. Heroes of mine. But Brother Sandlin, for whatever reason, I've watched as each one of those people have let the devil talk them right out of their reward. He's let them talk them right out of their promised place. And I'll be honest with you tonight, there's been some times he's tried to talk me out of the two. Has he ever done it to you? There's been some times where he's trying to persuade me to let go of my grip. Where he's tried to force me to get rid of my seat. But I've got my mind made up that as for me, I'm going to be an overcomer. That I'm not giving up my seat. I said, I refuse to get up. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this text tonight. Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I want you to notice the seat that is designated for the saint. I want you to realize everybody that is saved has a seat. Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says that God hath raised us up together and made us to what? Made us to sit together in heavenly places. Amen. Yes, we've all got a seat of blessing waiting for us up yonder just as long as we can overcome. Now, I know it's difficult at times trying to be an overcomer. I know it's difficult at times trying to be a conqueror. But it seems like it would be so much easier to just give in to this world and to just give up to the adversary. And you know why that is? It's because right now you're living on the other side of the promise. You're occupying a different seat. I said right now you may not feel much like an overcomer because you're not sitting in that seat yet. But I wonder tonight, what kind of seat are you sitting in? Are you like those Babylonian captives who said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Well, I wonder, are you like Nehemiah? When he said, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Well, I wonder, are you like Job? After all of his loss, after all of his lamentation, the Bible says that he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And what did he do? He sat down among the ashes. I said, what kind of seat are you sitting in? Are you sitting in the seat of tragedy? Are you sitting in the seat of failure? Are you sitting in the seat of misfortune? Because I want to tell you, friend, you will not be sitting there forever. I said that will not always be your seat. For the Lord said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. I want you to watch that. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I would think about it, that it was just a chance or that it was just a probability. But he said, I will. It's definite. He said, there's a seat in Beulah with your name on it. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, if there wasn't one mansion in heaven, if there were no streets of gold, no walls of jasper, or no pearly gates, if there was no pure river of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, that would be all right with me. Because the greatest thing about heaven is the fact that we're going to be able to sit down next to our Savior. It's the fact that we're going to be able to have a seat right next to Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that He has saved you a seat? Hallelujah. Historians say that the emperor of Rome one day, during the childhood of Galba, he took that little boy by shin. He looked him straight in his eyes and seen potential in that child. The emperor of Rome said, "Thou, Galba, shalt one day sit upon a throne." Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, there is an even higher power than the power of that emperor. For there is a divine king. There is a king of kings who is sitting on the balcony of eternity. And I believe he's looking down at his church. He's looking down at his redeemed. And he's trying to get that same message across to each one of us. He's trying to tell you, friend, one of these days you're going to sit on a throne. Amen. Hey, you may have to endure some suffering. You may have to bear some burdens. You may have to experience some disappointments in this life. But there's coming a day when you're going to sit on a heavenly throne. When you're going to sit in a celestial seat. Amen. Come on now. I didn't say I made the promise. I didn't say I offered the pledge. Because you see, I might let you down. I might not come through on my word. But aren't you glad for the one who made the proclamation? Aren't you glad that the master architect of all the universe said he has created a seat that is just for you? Because my friend, whenever the Lord tells you something, it'll always come to pass. Whenever Jesus speaks, you can take it to the bank, because he always, I said he always, comes through on his promises. Yes, we've all got a seat that's been kept for us by the very hand of God. But just because you've got a seat, it doesn't mean that Satan isn't going to try to force you out of it. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some sorrows and some troubles that try to move you along the way. It reminds me of a story I read some time ago. Story said there was a little tropical island that was located out in the midst of a very vast sea. There were very few inhabitants that lived on this island. It was constantly getting bombarded by wind and rain. Tropical storms would blow through. People would tell those islanders that they were crazy for living there. Those people, they supposedly built a statue one day. It was a stone statue of a man. It depicted him with his arms crossed, with a very defiant expression on his face. That statue was positioned on the edge of the island, with that man looking out toward the sea. They said fierce winds would blow, strong waves would beat against it. But those islanders had inscribed on that statue these words, "Amen, storms never move us." I don't know about you, but I believe we need a church like that. I believe we need some men and women of God who will bear that same motto. I believe each one of us should inscribe those words on the tablet of our soul. Amen. Storms never move us. Amen. Hey, if you haven't found out already, there's going to be some moments in this Christian experience where the devil tries to turn your world upside down, where he tries to invade the inner core of your being, where he tries to shake the very foundation of your faith. You know how that is? It's because he wants you to pack your bags. He wants you to change your location. He wants you to give up your seat. But you know what you need to do? Somebody needs to tell the devil, like the old hymn said, I shall not be moved, though the tempest rages. I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Somebody needs to shout it in the mouth of hell. Tell them I'm not giving up my seat. Tell them I refuse to get up. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus tells us in the beginning of verse 21, exactly who this seat is promised for. Notice he said, it's to him that overcometh. You know what that tells me? That tells me not everybody is going to be an overcomer. While some are overcoming, others are going to be overcome. You know why? Because the devil hates, he despises the fact We got a position in glory, doesn't he? Amen. There's a seat that is designated for the saint. But also realize there is a strategy that is designed by Satan. Amen. Now the Bible tells us that the devil is a thief, doesn't it? What thieves like to do, they like to steal, they like to take away, they like to rob. That's exactly what the devil's out there doing, isn't he? He's trying to steal some seats. He's trying to steal our seat of dedication, our seat of worship, our seat of holiness, our seat of prayer. And I know that the devil wants to steal your seat. Amen. Well, he tried to steal God's seat, didn't he? He tried to take away the very throne of God. Because you read in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, you'll find the devil's own words. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Amen. Oh, the devil trying to get a hold of God's seat. So right then, God kicked the devil out of heaven. Ever since the devil failed at getting God's seat, he's been trying to get a hold of ours. You may say there's no way that the devil will ever be able to get a hold of my seat. Amen. Well, I've read in the Bible about some people who were just like us. People who looked like they had a secure spot. They looked like they had a prepared place. They looked like they had a reserved residence. But each one of those people that I read about, they all lost their seat. I think specifically about that man named Judas. If anybody was close to Jesus, surely Judas was. You see, there were 12 disciples in all of the world, and Judas was one of them, wasn't he? In fact, at the Last Supper, Judas had a seat with Jesus, perhaps right next to him. For the Bible tells us that Judas dipped his sop with him. And Bible scholars say if one was to dip their sop with another, then they had to be sitting right next to each other, or at least across from each other. So no doubt Judas sat very close to Christ. Amen. But something got inside of that man. Something got inside of his heart. And that restless spirit that was abiding in Judas employed him to get up from his seat and to run out into the night. And we all know what happened after that. Judas sold out Jesus. And can I tell you, when Judas sold his place with the king, he also sold his place on the throne. I said, when he sold his Savior, he also sold his seat. And I say he sold it to hell for way too cheap. He sold it at its lowest bid. And ever since that day, Judas has never been able to regain his seat. He's never been able to buy it back. Amen. My, what a sad sight that must have been to see. At the Last Supper, there was an empty seat. There was a vacant spot. And Brother Sandlin, I look around the church realm, and I feel like that same restless and different spirit that got a hold of Judas is trying to get a grip on some souls that are right here in the house of God. Because, my friend, if the devil can't steal your seat, he'll buy your seat, he'll bargain and try to make a trade with you. Amen. Oh, the devil would like to get a hold of your heart, and he'd like to draw you away. But let me tell you tonight, when one gives up their seat in this life, they're ultimately giving up their seat in the next life as well. I said, when you give up your earthly seat, you're giving up your heavenly seat too. I want to tell you, friend, whatever you do, don't sell to hell. Don't buy the devil's lie, because Satan will do the same thing to you that he did to Judas. I said hell will always leave you hanging. Can you say amen? I also think of that prodigal son. That son who had everything that a boy could want. I got feeling this boy had a seat at the Father's table, don't you? But for some reason or another, this son was no longer satisfied with a seat. And he pushes it back, and he gets up from where he was supposed to be. No doubt he had to walk past a pleading mother and a pleading father. Is that what God does for the backslider? He sends out mercy and grace to beg them to stay seated. But just like the prodigal, they decide a journey to that far country. No one should notice where that journey always leads to. For the prodigal started out sitting at the father's table, but he ended up laying down in a hog pen. He was laying in the mud, in the muck, and in the mire. And I don't know about you, but I've never read in my Bible where there was a seat for the prodigal in that hog pen. And let me tell you, that's just like the devil. He would like to take what's rightfully yours and return you with nothing but misery and despair. He'd like to take that seat that God has set aside for you in heaven, and he'd like to leave you with an empty place in hell. I said there are no seats in hell. There's plenty of them in heaven, but there is not one in hell. There's no seat available for the sinner. There is no resting place for the wicked. I say thank God there's a spot that's reserved for those who are faithful to the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight you have yourself a saint? Hallelujah. There's an old story that is told of the Greek marathon. Story said the most muscular conditioned runners paced nervously near the starting line for the long distance race. The time was near. They shook out their muscles, inhaled deeply, and got ready to run. But in the midst of it all, they said there was a young stranger who took his place at the starting line. They said his physique was remarkable. Taking no notice to the other contestants, he stared straight ahead. Two prizes were to be awarded for the winner of the marathon that day. A magnificent bouquet of flowers and the honor of sitting down beside the king until the conclusion of other contests. There seemed to be no question among those runners as to who would win the prize. It was alleged that young man was offered money not to run. Somebody else attempted to bribe him with property. Some even threatened his life. But through it all, that young man, he resisted the threats. He refused the offers. He told the mark. He awaited the signal to run. When the signal was given, he was the first off. At the finish line, he was the first to cross, well ahead of the rest. They said when it was all over, somebody asked that young man if he thought the flowers were worth as much as the money and the property he had refused. That runner simply replied, and he said, "I did not enter the race for the flowers, for the money, or for any of the possessions I was promised." He said, "I ran so I could sit down beside my king." Amen. Is that what we're doing tonight? We're in a race. We're running for our lives. And I don't know about you, but I'm not running for anything that this world has to offer. I'm not running for any bribes or bargains that can be made with the devil. I'm not running for an earthly prize. I'm running so that someday I can sit down beside my king. So that someday I can share a seat with my Savior. I want to tell somebody tonight, just run on. I said run. Run, run, run. There may be some obstacles you have to overcome. There may be a hindrance you have to get past. There may be oppositions you have to fight through. But I say run on. Because if you can overcome the threat, you can occupy the throne. I said I'm not giving up my seat. How about you? Hey, man. Notice Jesus' last words. He said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in His throne. There is a seat that is designated for the saint. There is a strategy that is designed by Satan. But notice the sovereignty that is displayed by our Savior. Jesus said, even as I also overcame. I'm glad He worded it the way He did, aren't you? He leaves us with no room to doubt. He leaves us with no reason to question His victory. He uses the word overcame, past tense, meaning it's already happened. It's already been accomplished. It's already occurred. And then when did He do it? At Calvary. You see, as soon as Jesus was brought into this world, the devil was looking for a way to overpower Him and to dethrone Him. He first sent out a servant by the name of Herod, and he hired Herod to kill the Lord. But the devil failed. So he then tried to invoke resentment and hatred in the hearts of men by disproving the Lord's deity and by discounting His abilities. He surrounded Him by death, but the dead regained consciousness. He surrounded Him by disease, but the diseased were cured. He surrounded Him by devils, but the devil-possessed were converted. And Satan failed once again. But finally, after years of deliberation, it looked like the devil had found a way to get rid of this king. He put him on trial. He created false accusations. He lied about the Lord's real intentions. And although there was no substantial evidence, although the jury was divided, Jesus was labeled guilty. They led him up a hill and they nailed him to a tree. And 6 hours later, when his death was confirmed, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. I say borrowed because he did not need it very long. Amen. But right then, it looked like the devil was going to rob his throne, didn't he? It looked like Satan was going to take away the very seat of Christ. But what that thief didn't realize was while he was trying to steal his way into the Lord's dominion, the Lord stole his way into the devil's dominion. Jesus grabbed the keys to the devil's kingdom. I said he grabbed the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And now Jesus owns the keys to both kingdoms. Amen. I heard my pastor say the devil doesn't even have a key to get into his own front door. Amen. Why? Because Jesus reigns over all things. I want to tell you tonight, Herod couldn't kill him. Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Death couldn't handle him, and the tomb couldn't hold him. The devil can't stand him, but the devil can't stop him. I said hell can't impeach him, and he won't resign. He will sit on the throne for the rest of the ages. He will be in office for all of eternity, for he is sovereign and supreme. Let's lift our hands and praise Him all across the house. He's preeminent over all things. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting right close. They tell me at the annual exhibition of the Royal Academy in London in 1917, Charles Butler exhibited a painting which has since become famous. He entitled it The King of Kings. It's a remarkable painting. 3 years the devout artist labored at his task. His central figure, of course, is Christ Himself, standing next to His rough cross, while the defeated Prince of Darkness cowers behind Him, and all the past monarchs of history press in to do Him honor. They say in the painting, Constantine the Great is there, kneeling before Him. King Louis the Great of France offers Him this crown. Queen Victoria offers Him her crown. Julius Caesar, Napoleon, all the prominent leaders of history are all there bowing down and offering up their crowns to the one true King. Altogether, there are 158 portraits in the single painting. And all 158 personages are there bowing down and offering up their crowns. Yet the eye never really leaves the King of Kings. They say there's a halo painted around His head, and it's so illuminating that for many years people wondered if there was a light hidden behind the canvas. Those people said all they could figure out was that Charles Butler must have mixed his paints with his prayers. As his last dying request, Mr. Butler wanted people to realize that the purpose of the painting was to show that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That He is the King of everything. And someday all must bow down before Him. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, there's been a lot of strong men in this world. There's been a lot of names throughout history that have denoted power, hasn't there? Alexander the Great had a powerful name. At the age of 33, he had conquered the known world. But at that same age, he died in drunkenness and in debauchery, and his name lost all of its power. Julius Caesar had a powerful name. He led Roman legions to conquer one land after another. But one day a dagger in the hand of his friend Brutus conquered him, and his name lost all of its power. Napoleon had a powerful name. He brought Europe to her knees before him. But he met his Waterloo. He died in exile, and his name lost all of its power. The Kaiser, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, each had powerful names. At one time they made this world tremble in fear. But when it was all said and done, they fell into utter defeat, and their name lost all of its power. But I'm glad tonight we're serving somebody who is greater, who is higher, who is stronger than all those other men. We're serving somebody who has a name that is above every other name. And although the devil may not want to admit it, although Satan may not want to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, one of these days that old liar is going to have to tell the truth. For the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's stand and praise Him tonight. Amen. Things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. He's sovereign. He's supreme. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy. All power is given unto Him. Amen. How many people here have ever flown on an airplane before? Let me see your hand. I've flown just a few times in my life, but I've noticed something about it. Whenever you board an aircraft, they've got a seat reserved just for you, don't they? As long as you purchase a ticket. Hey, when you get in there, they'll strap you in, they'll make you comfortable, and that plane will take off. When it comes time for that plane to land, the captain will come on over the intercom. He'll say, "We're nearing home. We're getting ready to reach our final destination. In just a matter of minutes, we'll be landing." That captain will always conclude by saying, "Please remain seated." You ever heard that before? You're close, but please remain seated. Amen. You see, that captain knows that you're almost there. But if you get up out of your seat too soon, it could cause harm, it could cause loss, it could cause danger. So they say, please remain seated. That's how I feel about it tonight in the spiritual realm. We're on a journey from earth to heaven. We're almost home. We've almost reached our final destination. And I say, it is not time to get up out of our seats. It is not time to backslide on God. It is no time to leave our place of reservation. I believe Jesus, the captain of our salvation, is telling us as the church, please remain seated. We're almost there. We've almost made it. We've almost overcome. But don't get up yet. Please remain seated. I want to keep my seat in these last days. How about you tonight? I don't know what your all's custom is here. I'd like to open these altars tonight. I'll tell you, we're living in an hour where the devil is doing everything he can to steal our seat. He's trying to pull it right out from underneath us. I believe we need some saints of God, amen, who will have a determined heart and a made-up mind to get a better grip, to get a more firm grasp on the things of God. How about it tonight? We got some people that'll step out and come to this altar and will make up their mind, Lord, I'm not giving up my seat. How about it? Everybody will. Let's gather around this altar. The devil would like to steal that seat. He'd like to, amen, pull it out from underneath you. He'd like to rob you of the victory. But tell the devil, I refuse to get up. I'm holding on until I make it home.
Not a problem I can solve. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again. I know you're mighty busy in your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking. Got a problem that I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. Troubles come and I can't find an answer. Well, lonely nights I spend in agony. Only friend that I can turn to. So here I am, Lord, back up on my knees. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Oh, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. I know you're mighty busy in your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. Well, all I have is you. It's me again, Lord. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't song. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help. It only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. Glory to God. I know you're mighty busy in your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve. Now, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve. Now, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
How many enjoyed that preaching tonight? Can we show him and show the Lord how much we appreciate that?
If that is just the start of the revival,
Lord, you just wait and see. Come around here Saturday night and Sunday morning. It's liable to see the power of God a move. And I know, I tell you, if we'll do our part, God will do his. I'm made to believe that, Brother Jody. That I know Brother Jody's coming, amen, with his praying done up and his homework done. He's already proved that to us tonight. Amen. The man of God's ready to preach. And he didn't just say a bunch of praise the Lord's and hallelujah. I mean, he preached the Word of God, and he give us food for thought. We can take home tonight and get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do what the man of God said. I'm going to keep my seat. I'm not going to let the devil steal my seat and take my crown, but I'm going to hold fast. And I'm going to lay a hold on eternal life and not let it go. I knew Brother Jody was very mature in the Word, and I know that he is going to be a blessing to us this week. And I'm here to tell you, if you miss a night, you miss a lot. Because you never know what God's going to do from one night to the next. And I'm made to believe we're going to have visitation. We're going to have some guest preachers and pastors. We're going to have some visitors. But let's, most of all, let's pray that God come by and pay us a visit. And the Holy Ghost come by and saturate the service. And Brother Drake Richardson called me today. And I thought for sure he was coming tonight. He told me that him and Darrell was coming. And he preached for me Friday night. And he told me he was coming tonight, but something must have come up. I don't know. Maybe he'll be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Thursday night. I know some churches have it on Thursday.
But we're looking for even a better crowd tomorrow, Friday night, and then right on into Saturday. I know Brother Raymond said that he couldn't be with us till Saturday. Brother Raymond and Brother Mikey Rollins and those at Blanchester will be here Saturday. And we're looking for Brother Dwayne Cornett tomorrow night, maybe even in the Friday night. And Brother Ed Stout will be here probably, no doubt. So let's all just anticipate a great move of God. Let me give you some advice. Still away and pray. Still away and pray. You say, Brother Bobby, I got to work tomorrow. Find you a place, amen, at lunchtime, on break. Amen. When I worked in the factory, I'd go to the bathroom. Amen. And I'd sit around and I'd say, now, Lord, it's me and you. Praise God. Amen. Lord, I need you to come by tonight. And I'm so thankful. We are privileged tonight to have Brother Jody Pascarelli. I know he's a prominent minister, and he's been used in a lot of great churches. And I feel privileged tonight to have him. And I know he'll be a blessing to us. So his brother, Brother Jerry Pascarelli, pastors the Highway Holiness Church in Hamilton, Ohio. And I'm hoping now, Jerry, get over here. You get on him there. I tell you what, I called him. Well, I texted him, and then I left him on his website. I emailed him. And, yeah, I knew he had a funeral he had to do today. And so maybe Jerry can get freed up and come this revival. So we're going to let you go home so you can rest up and be back tomorrow night. Now, folks, I'm going to run this service a little different normally than I do, simply because we want the man of God on the floor early. We want him to anoint us with the Word and then give us time to get in the altars and pray. Is that all right? I may exhaust some of the singing simply because we want the man of God on the floor. We want him preaching early, too, especially if we got guests. Amen. So I'm asking all of you to have a song ready. And if you got a burning song, sing it. If you don't, we're going to let our visitors sing and let our preacher preach. Amen. Because we're here to have revival. Amen. Now, if the Holy Ghost gets in the song, I know Brother Jerry, he'll say, come by Holy Ghost and tell me what to do. Praise God. And that's what we want. But we want to hear the good preaching of God's Word. So, we're so glad tonight, Sister Alice Newton. Can we give the Lord a praise offering for her tonight? I tell you what, Sister Alice, I want to say this. In front, I watched the whole church was here. But God knows my heart. You made me proud tonight. I'm proud of you tonight. I got to see a picture of that, Brother Bub. I want you to look at that. I'm proud of her. I'm double proud of her. I'm double proud of her. She had 140 some stitches, both eyes, and look at her. She's sitting there in the house of God. Can I say this with love in my heart? If it'd be some of us, we'd let a little headache cause us to sit at the house. If it'd be some of us, we'd say, I got the yard to mow. I got to get out and get the yard mowed tonight, but Brother Bob, I'll be there tomorrow night. But we got a sister back there that's got a right to stay at home and kind of recuperate. But she said, I'm going to the house of God tonight. And praise God, I honor that. And I appreciate that, Sister Alice. You don't realize how much that blessed me tonight. And I knew that come from the heart. That come from the heart. And but now I want to say this as we dismiss. We've got Brother Sheldon Henderson, Sister Pauline Henderson. They've got lung cancer. Brother Henderson's got lung cancer, brain cancer. Just lost his brother. And we're hoping they get to come in this revival. And we want to call Pauletta tomorrow and remind her, because I don't know if she knows we're in revival. Remember them. And F.G. Wagers, thank the Lord that he didn't have to go through that procedure this week. But we're going to pray that God will completely heal him. He won't even have to go through it. And continue to pray for Brother Jack Taylor. Anybody else?